Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, here's another edition of the Chicago Way, Radio Free Chicago in podcast form. Jeff Carlin, John Cass. Later in the show, we're going to have Tom Serafin of Serafin Associates to talk about Hillary Clinton and, you know, how ethical she is. And
very,
how,
very ethical. John.
How moral she is.
Very moral.
Moral universe. The arc of the moral universe is coming right to her mouth full of wasps, as someone wrote this week. And also Pat Brady, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, he's going to talk about some of the same things and maybe some Edgar and Rauner stuff. Before we begin, Jeff Carlin, I have to mention that, you know, sometimes I want to get away from politics and I go out to a garden. And the garden in my backyard, as you can see from Facebook, I sweep it. I sweep the floor of my garden so that there's no dirt in it. I use a push broom and a regular broom to get around the corners.
Sure.
So that there's not one shred of dirt on the landscape fabric of the garden. It looks like carpet. My wife thinks I'm insane, and many readers think I've lost it by sweeping dirt out of my garden, including Dan Michalopoulos from the Sun-Times on Twitter. He's like, what the hell's wrong with you, man?
How dare he?
But let me ask you this. Am I crazy to sweep my garden?
No.
You can say yes.
No, I don't think you're... Here's why, John. People do yoga, and if you, from an outside perspective, just saw somebody sitting in their room, alone in a room, twisting their arms and bending themselves,
if you saw me in the dog position,
right, you'd be like, you "What like are they doing? Is there some sort of seizure happening? What's happening?"
Right.
But they do it to relax. Or the people who comb a garden, or the sand, you know, the Japanese.
I'm not Mr. Miyagi.
No,
here.
No, but that, but that's
I'm
it's
Castle.
A, it's a form of. Of release and centering, you know.
It is. Check you out.
That's so. I think it's completely apropos, and it's a thing that something you know people would say. Oh, yeah,
he's nuts.
You know, it's a garden. It's supposed to have dirt, but at the same time, it doesn't have to have dirt.
There's something about a confessing to your obsession that kind of I don't know releases you, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Kind of like you and your dang pies. I noticed a picture that Jeff put out on Carlin on Facebook where he has a pie in the oven with the, you know, lattice work crust, berries inside. And I think that's got to be the same. It might be the same thing as me sweeping my garden.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is, John. I like you, you know, I like to do these things where it's, you know, very, very mental, very organized, and very much a thought process where I can just do it, and if I hit perfection, then I can make it, you know, can go beyond that. And I always thought the idea of, you know, way back, you know, go back 200 years,
right.
And people, you know, made everything, you did everything, you know, you get up in the morning, you make a pie for the weekend or whatever, and I thought that was a cool skill to have, so that's where it started. But then I got into it, and I was like, oh, this is actually fun, there's a lot of science, you know, there's a lot of, you know, precision, and then you can tweak it a little. So that it's really a release to me. I usually put on some music or some public radio.
Because you don't hear enough Peruvian pipes as interludes between two liberals talking about nonsense?
No, I can't.
What the hell are you listening to?
I can't handle that. I'm more like the long format storytelling stuff.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Just them people telling a story about them experiencing America, Americana, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this last pie I made, actually, John, is probably one of my favorite I've made so far. Something very unique. I went crazy in the pie world. I made my crust. I used a super butter crust with cornmeal, so it gets a little bit of crunch to it.
And vodka?
And of course, vodka, so it's crispy.
Yeah.
And I chill my dough overnight for about 12 hours to make it easier to pliable, makes it easier to work out because I have very warm hands. So I store it with lavender. And so it's got lavender in the crust. It's got butter. It's got cornmeal to make it a little crispy. And then I, you know, a little bit of grated lemon, fresh lemon juice.
Lemon zest.
Yeah. Lemon zest for my berries. Mix the berries.
Ah.
A little tapioca to make it set up.
Thick, yeah.
Thicken
thick,
up
yeah.
And then some sugar. And that's it. And a
there's
salt.
Something about concentrating
mm-hmm.
that get. I used to do, and I like to cook too. So like we share that in common. But I think it's about concentrating on a task that has nothing to do with people with fake names and cartoon heads calling you a jerk on social media.
Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, there's none of that. There's no. It's just your berries have no politics. The tomatoes.
No.
I think the cucumbers.
Yeah,
kind of socialist. Kind of socialist because they kind of climb on other vines and they try
right.
to squeeze them. But the tomatoes don't. Your berries, your crust doesn't have politics.
No politics.
Right? And I think it's a we you got to get away from us. Right? Because we're dealing with it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the other way I got away from it, John, and is like NASA, science stuff. That's,
yeah.
that's my big passion. I went to space camp as a kid.
We were going to do a Jupiter thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to hopefully in the coming weeks. There's a gentleman by the name of Bobak Ferdowsi who's a lot of people will
the sausage maker?
No, that's
yeah, I know.
That's Abe Froman. No, he's the people remember him from the Mars
sure.
lander. He's the Mohawk guy.
Right.
And he's a guy who's lived and died and loves science beyond anybody else I know. Actually, and he's an Iranian natural, you know, born in Iran, emigrated here.
Right.
And works for NASA. Brilliant guy. But the NASA probe to Jupiter was amazing. And that's another way I kind of press.
It's better than drinking. Although I do admire sure. a drink of occasion. The first one in the afternoon, in the late afternoon, either gin and tonic with bitters or scotch. How about you?
I love scotch. Yeah, I'm a
scotch.
Good scotch guy.
The first one is always. It's the third one that it's like. Are we always chase? I know this is cliche, but it always seems like you're chasing that first one,
right?
With the second, and it's never the same,
right? No,
right?
But the first one's always the best,
right?
And the second one is, well, it's you know you've now acclimated yourself. Your palate is adjusted, a little different, but then the third one becomes trouble.
And then by the sixth is the time when I should not be doing social media. So at certain times of the evening, I will get my responses are less measured
mm-hmm.
and a little bit more, you know,
languid,
pithy. You know what I'm saying? I don't do the bleep use
right.
on social, but I feel like it.
For sure,
I feel like it sometimes, yeah. But not now. There's only one thing wrong with your pie story, Jeff.
Is it home?
It's at home. That really sucks, Jeff.
I know.
What in the heck is wrong with you, dude? It's like you know. You don't talk like I'm going to bring you tomatoes.
I haven't
okay?
got any tomatoes, John.
What the heck? I mean, I can't like force ripen them. What would you want me to do? Like lay in the garden, curl my naked body around the tomatoes to force ripen them with heat?
That would
from
be
my
weird.
Castle body? No, it can't be done. Biologically, it wouldn't work. You can't do it. You have to wait.
And as do you, John. As do you.
Will you please take out that part about being naked with the dinos?
We'll see. Room to God in. There's room to roam. Room to mess. Room to grow. Room to play. Room to God in. The lizards crawl. The air is sweet. The grass is cool. Cast away your sin. Yeah, we're naked. In the garden. Yeah, we're naked. In the garden. Yeah, we're naked. In the
joining us now on the Chicago Way, the greatest podcast in the land behind the corruption curtain, is my friend and ace political analyst, Tom Serafin of Serafin & Associates. Good day, sir.
Good day to you, John. How are you doing?
Good. So Jeff and I thought that you would be the perfect guest to talk about what is going on in our country with Hillary Clinton, who the other day was unindicted. And then went to North Carolina to hug President Obama. and talk about the moral universe.
Unbelievable week for her. You know, last Tuesday in Arizona on the Phoenix tarmac, you had former President Bill Clinton in 103-degree temperature, you know, waiting around for Attorney General Lynch's plane to land, and spent 39 minutes with her talking about things.
They talked about their grandchildren and his golf game, because, as you know, in Arizona, everyone golfs in July and June, right?
That's right. And then the following Saturday, on the day of the July 4th weekend, she's grilled for 3.5 hours by the FBI on the holiday weekend. And then on the following day, on Sunday, the July 3rd, the New York Times says Democrats close to Mrs. Clinton are deciding whether or not to retain the attorney general, be the first attorney general in her administration. And then the next day, coincidentally again, on Tuesday, the FBI director has this unannounced news conference where he details all these facts and then says, we're not indicting and I'm not taking questions. And then 4 or 6 hours later, the president and Hillary are on Air Force One campaigning with their arms around each other. And you know, and I know in this business, there are no coincidences.
Somebody
said that.
So this
is well choreographed for this week. Very well choreographed.
The only problem I have with the no coincidences thing, and I believe in no coincidences, is Jim Comey generally, I think, is separate the Republicans who were saying that he's such a wonderful man when they hoped that she would indict her, or when they thought he was going to sign a criminal information against her. He was a wonderful man, but I think he's always had a remarkable degree of independence. His dealings with Republicans under when he was deputy attorney general, standing up against some ridiculous Republican moves, and I thought that he showed independence. But in this case, I think he had it all wrong. I think the federal statutes are clear. Gross negligence, also in terms of dealing with secrets, can also mean reckless carelessness, or whatever you called it, right?
Extreme carelessness with the public records. And what's interesting, though, John, I agree with you about the FBI director. He's one public servant that's been above reproach through all these various different Republican and Democratic administrations. And on this one, I think what he did, he can't indict, because that's what the attorney general does.
Yes.
But he politically indicted her for her wrongdoings, and he wanted to put all of that on the record. And most of those details are not on the record the way he laid it out. And then he said at the very end, although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. And now he hands it off to the reasonable prosecutors at the attorney general's office.
Right.
And they're not going to make that case. I think he was in a box. He wasn't going to get the cooperation that he wanted. So he decided to put everything on the record and let the I think he knew exactly what he was doing, and I think the debate and the consternation in the country today that the system doesn't work for the little guy, it works for only those that are politically connected, which is, you know, is the Chicago way, always has been,
yes,
around the country, is what it is. And I think he laid that out on the table for all of us to discuss it. I think he probably knew exactly what he was up to.
The tortured, for all the, you know, whenever Trump says something stupid, the left, I get all these messages from people saying, why don't you ridicule him on this and that? And I have on many things. However, I don't see the same pressure on my colleagues of the left. How can you not ridicule the president of the United States, who embraces this woman right after she's found to be leaking, let's not say leaking, but making top secrets available for hacking by foreign intelligence? How can he embrace her? This is it reinforces this idea that there are two sets of rules for the insiders, and you know what is the, what do they say? Tell us that Gene and Giorgetti said daytime, when we're in, we're in. When they're in, we're in. When they're out, we're in. We're always in.
Well, there are different sets of rules depending on where you are on the economic, the political ladder. if you look at it, at Washington, D.C., and what the president's administration has done over the last 8 years, they have the Obama administration has prosecuted more leakers under the 1970 Espionage Act than all prior administrations combined. Secrecy in D.C. is a virtual religion, and I'm quoting that from a newspaper article this morning. So it's critical to keep these secrets in D.C. separate from everybody else and away from the general public. And it's been one of his hallmarks in his administrations to do that. And then to do exactly as you just said, to put the arms around somebody who had done this, politics is more important, weighs more at this level of government today and in our society than what we had at one time, the letter of the law. You know, I think it was Thomas Jefferson said a long time ago, the denial of every preeminence is the only way we keep the foundation of our constitutional order, the denial of every preeminence. And it's no longer the case. But it was the same thing with Wall Street. In 2008, all our friends, the tycoons, it was the fraud. One guy did a perp walk. So you can go through a litany of these kinds of things, and unfortunately, for the little guy, it doesn't work the same way.
Hey, Tom, a question for you on this: the way Donald Trump's going to use this to his advantage. You've already seen him come out and say, you know, was there some sort of bribe here?
The game was rigged.
Right. Was there, you know, they met on a plane. They were only talking about golf and children for maybe 5 minutes. The rest of it had to be this case. And now Hillary says, oh, well, you know, I would consider her as Loretta Lynch as my AG as well. What do you make of that? Is he going to be able to use that to bring her down a couple notches?
Oh, yeah.
Well, as an old friend told me this morning, you know, as soon as the Republicans make her a victim, she wins. All you have to do on a situation like this, and I think the FBI director actually gave them something, because if she had been indicted, she'd be gone. Joe Biden would be in, and Joe Biden would have a much better path to the White House.
Crazy Joe, you put
right.
y'all back in chief. Put y'all
right.
back
it,
in chief.
You'd have a lot of good quotes from him. But so by not indicting her, the FBI director gave all the information out of where she lied, and the Associated Press has their truth factors out this morning, and it's our litany of these outright lies that she talks about. All they have to do is put the director of the FBI tape on their commercials, and it's already running on some places on the Internet.
Yeah, sort of
and
a montage,
that's the
right?
Issue. Right, that's the issue. You got to talk about the veracity of the candidacy that she is trying to put together, because at the same time this is happening, she's on the stump stating that Donald Trump doesn't have the wherewithal, the guts, or the mental ability to be president, temperament to be president. In the meantime, the phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning. She's not answering it, and she's not even answering to the fact that she's using multiple technology to right. move information and emails that are classified and accessible to the world powers around us. I mean,
how can you be? What is the temperament of a presidential candidate who allows secret information to be susceptible to hacking? Because
right.
of your own, how does that?
I don't think inside her heart that she really wanted that to happen. I don't believe she's that callous, but the political group around her, everything's been political in her entire life since the early 80s. So she always looks at it as the Clintons have always looked at it, through a prism of politics rather than the prism of good government policy and long-term benefits to the country. So the politicization of our government and our process, you know, in Washington, D.C. and in Springfield and in most capitals around the country today have really kind of done us a real disservice, because it's taken us away from good government and policy and building our society to controlling power and money. I mean, why is the Washington, D.C. geography the wealthiest part of this country? I mean, they're all public servants.
Because
they're
the questions. And if right. they don't watch it, if the managers of our cultures don't watch it, what they're asking for is a revolution. They don't get it, but it's gonna. But you know, I recommend highly a French film called Ridicule. I usually mm-hmm. do during the election season, and I recommend it now most highly again. Listen, on this related subject, a friend of yours in his column this week mentioned that how can Mrs. Clinton be president with, how can she, if she's elected president, how can she have a security clearance given that she's shown that she can't keep secrets?
Well, that's the catch-22 in politics. She automatically gets it, even though the FBI director says she doesn't know what to do with it when she has it because she doesn't abide by it. The State Department paperwork that she signed indicated the same thing. I mean, that petty officer a few years ago, you know, took his computer home by accident. And there was classified material on it, and he was prosecuted and fined $10,000, and I think they suspended that after he pleaded guilty. Hey, there's multiple sets of governing here, and it's, you know, if you walk into the Cook County Circuit Court with the right attorney, there will be some privilege extended to you. But if you walk in there without an attorney or with a public attorney, you have a much more difficult time in dealing with that specific court situation. Thousands of Chicagoans today are in our circuit court systems begging for mercy and leniency, but if they're not with the right messenger, then the message will not hit properly. So, I mean, in Washington, D.C., you have to hire all the right people to be heard properly by the people's representatives. That's the system that we've kind of matured or backed our way into. And it's only by more people getting involved at the grassroots level. I said this morning, you people complain about Donald Trump. Everything he says, he puts his foot in his mouth, and he does everything contrary to how you would go about things, especially if you have an opponent like Hillary Clinton. However, he's still in the margin of error in some of the most important states, and he's only down 8, 10, 12 points, depending on whose poll you're looking at.
Actually, he's climbing, and that was in polls, and that was before the FBI thing. Tom Serafin, listen, we have to go, but I'll tell you this. There will be tomatoes waiting for you from my garden. Just you and Ann come over, okay?
We'll
stand barefoot in the garden.
Have a great week. Thank you.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Peace.
Trump, the hair piece will make ya. Trump, the Middle East will make ya. Trump, the GOP make ya. Trump. Give it up for Donald, running for the president. No need for certificates, born and bred American. Kicking off that campaign, calling out his enemies. GOP can't handle that energy. Trump don't need Neil Young to rock in the free world. He got that brand image like SeaWorld. Trump on a mission, man, he on the attack. And Mexican immigrants is wiggity, 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 whack. Climbing up the poles, running right past you. Ain't a war hero if that ass get captured. Trump is the truth here to get us inspired. 2016, Obama,
you're fired.
Trump, immigration make ya. Trump, Jeb Bush will make ya. Trump, bankruptcy make ya. Donald.
Joining us now on the Chicago Way is none other than Pat Brady, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, good friend, a smart ass completely, 100%. And also, kind of running his own political game here, thinking about like an insurgent, what is it, like an anti-Trumpian thing?
Well, it's just we are trying to make sure that the will of the people is heard. And I'm an elected Kasich delegate to the convention.
You are.
And the role of a delegate should be, and all the delegates, the 2,400 or so of us, should be to nominate the person that could win.
Because that's your responsibility to the party.
To the party, because it's not a constitutional thing. It's not a First Amendment thing. It's not a constitutionally protected thing. It's a party thing.
Right.
And so I believe that the Rules Committee that will meet next week should allow all delegates to, quote unquote, vote their conscience.
Could you guys do me a favor and nominate Rand Paul so we can just...
He's an isolationist.
I think that's called...
We are free traders.
We call it non-interventionism, but that's the difference.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, right. I'm growing some, too. I'm going to have some for you. I don't see Jeff there. Did he just disappear behind the glass? Maybe. All right. So, first of all, let's talk about Hillary. All right, let's get this out of the way. Jim Comey is going to be testifying before the Congress this week. Paul Ryan wants him there to explain what's going on. Clearly, you don't think Trump is your cup of tea party, as I would say. He's not mine either, but this whole thing is playing right into his hands. It's Hillary Clinton stuff. And as a former prosecutor, you're the perfect man to have on the show.
Let's take it from two perspectives. Let's take it from the political perspective. And you are a newspaper giant, right?
So I'm a fat Greek sitting in the chair. Yeah.
But a prominent nationally known or internationally known newspaper figure. The headline today in every paper that if you look at it, walking across the newsstand, for those that don't engage completely, is Clinton cleared. That's the headline. At the same time, is this orchestrated? I don't know. Hillary Clinton is walking off Air Force One, the first female nominee to be president of the United States, with the first African-American, who's still one heck of a campaigner. Mm-hmm. So that was her day yesterday. Even with Comey, who's he was a couple years behind me, but I know people that worked with him at the Justice Department, one of the most highly respected prosecutors and people in the game, who said, hey, we can't prosecute this. Doesn't meet the standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt,
It's not the Petraeus case. Everybody, you think it's Petraeus, it's not. No. Petraeus handed the information to his girlfriend biographer, knowing it was classified. Hillary has a little wiggle room.
Interestingly, let me finish that thought. Just on the political side, I don't think that it was as bad as the Republicans think. My second worry on the political side is that we're going to overplay our hands again, like we always do. And the only time that Hillary Clinton ever does well is when she's a victim, like she was in the 90s. Then she becomes very popular. When she's Hillary, the
Ice Queen
or irritating speech giver.
Screamer.
Screamer. Right. I saw her and Elizabeth Warren. All I could think to myself is, I don't like to get yelled at twice.
That would be I'll take out the garbage,
know,
honey.
Like a, you know? Twice, so in stereo.
And walk the dog, too.
Double pantsuit.
Right.
But from a former prosecutor perspective, I totally defer to Mr. Comey. He's a great American.
Your point that she wants to be the victim plays into that's her politics. She, if you beat her up, she'll play the woman card on you, and you're a man who doesn't understand women, or you hate women, you're a misogynist. And I wish I had a quarter for every time I get a tweet from their people. You know, they have hired people doing this stuff. Misogynist, for what? She dangled the secrets of the United States in a server that was easily hackable by foreign intelligence.
At a time when we have people that not want to go to war with us, they want to pull us out of our house and cut our heads off. And that's what ISIS has said in the past. So these are dangerous times.
And also people that are on some of those stuff, some of that stuff is super top secret, and with names and sources. So what I don't want is a public examination of who the people are that were hurt, because I don't want to hurt sources and methods for this country. But I guarantee you that there's no way, as Jim Comey said, the foreign intelligence is not going to leave like a marker saying, thanks, I was here, thanks, like a little Hershey's kiss, like thanks for giving me this stuff.
Well, you know, it was remarkable as a former Fed that the director of the FBI did that press conference, because the role of the FBI is not to make prosecutorial decisions. That's the role of the Justice Department. Now, maybe it was made jointly. Maybe he just got irritated with Loretta Lynch. The news stories I read today said this has been coming for a couple weeks. But it was interesting the FBI director did that alone without someone from the Justice Department there with him.
Also, pointed out to me earlier, and I missed this, that the New York Times apparently had a story.
About Loretta?
So Bill meets with Loretta, and then there comes a story. Hillary's thinking about keeping Loretta on. And then she walks. She's not indicted. Now, for all that I respect Jim Comey, and I know him, I know who was his godfather to his children.
Right.
His name is Pat Fitzgerald. Pat is you say what you want about him. Republicans hated him when he put Scooter Libby behind bars for lying. But I think that those two men have, they're impeccable integrity.
Oh, not unquestionable.
Right?
Yep, I agree completely.
But at the same time, you look at these Clintons, the way they get away with stuff, and you're thinking, where is there a double set of justice? Is there two standards of justice?
Sure. Remember in 96 when Bob Dole was running, war hero, and he used to say, where's the outrage? And this was before we found out that Bill Clinton was fooling around with a 23-year-old intern and got up and lied about it.
In the Oval Office.
In the Oval
Office. While he's on the phone with a congressman talking about money to send boys to Bosnia and die.
Well, I think the difference is, and Bob Kerry said it during the 92 budget debate, the first Clinton budget, or maybe it's 93 by then, that Bill Clinton's an unusually good liar. I think that was pretty much what he said. I think Hillary lies just as easily, but she's just not as good at it.
And that already the Weekly Standard's put out an audio montage, and others will do the same, just juxtaposing Hillary's quotes about, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, with what Jim Comey's saying. To me, that's more devastating than Trump's usual heavy hand screaming or some of the stuff you hear on Republican conservative talk radio where everybody's evil except the guy who's talking.
Right.
And that kind of heavy-handed stuff I don't think works. But you just lay it out there. People are smart. Now, how do you take advantage of it, given that many Republicans, like yourself, are not enamored of Mr. Trump?
Yeah, I said yesterday, had we not nominated Donald Trump, that press conference yesterday would have been the end of the Clinton campaign. That was how bad it was, but I still believe...
You mean if Romney was in there?
Not even Romney, if any of the... Not any. I wouldn't think Cruz, but I think maybe my guy Kasich or some other people that are more acceptable, but it won't. And his response was idiotic, and he was also dealing with an anti-Semitic tweet that he sent out, or allegedly anti-Semitic, I thought it was too. But I don't think it makes that big a difference because the sleaze factor is already factored in with the Clintons.
Right. I think both of them, and I'm thinking about this for a column. Usually, you know, you go when you're a kid, you go to Washington, Lincoln Monument, and he is a man, he's like a god in that monument.
Yeah, or read the Gettysburg Address on one side and then the second inaugural on the other. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Or all the other presidents that we treat as gods. We make them gods as the presidency grows, right? Even though it's supposed to be one-third partnership or one-third separate, it grows and grows to the point where it's like now Olympian. So even, you know, we wanted to, many of us, I think, even journalists on both sides, add like virtue to presidents that don't deserve it. You see it with Obama. You see it with Bush. There was Reagan. I think he deserved it. But there were other people who didn't. We still elevate them to God status.
Like JFK.
JFK, right. Well, he had Momo Giancana's girlfriend in his bedroom, but that's okay. And in the process, I think that does injury to the Republic. Now,
that's not what we're about.
It's not what we're supposed to be about.
I mean, we fought the war because we didn't like that stuff.
We fought and that's why the only one who I think deserves Godhead or God status, if you want to say, is George Washington, who, like Cincinnatus, took power and relinquished. The others, I don't want as gods. Now, here's the point.
He not only took power and gave it back, he actually fought the war himself and led the troops. I mean, this guy, he did it.
Right.
If anybody deserved to keep it, it was him.
Yeah, and kept the revolution alive. Yeah. So, given that, I'm thinking maybe it's a good thing that Clinton, Hillary, such a lying weasel that she is, and Trump, such a vulgar barbarian, it's a good thing that they're running. Here's why. The people of the United States have to realize these people are not gods. Let's stop making them gods. And maybe the Congress of the United States can begin to do its job, which they've abrogated to sort of like the mayor of America, how they've run this country with executive order and so forth, and they've never fought back by cutting the purse strings.
Right.
Maybe.
Is it too ideal?
Bush did it.
Yeah.
Bush did it. And if Obama was truly a guy who would be, you know, progressive and transformative.
Hope and change.
Yes, if he was truly that way, he would have said, Bush did all these executive orders. I'm not going to do it because I don't know who the next president's going to be, right or left, and we've got to get back. But he never did that. He's Mayor Obama of America. So the point is, I'd like to ask both of you, but to Brady first, Pat. Am I crazy here? Or is it time that the Congress start being thought of by the American people as something more than the guys who call K Street for?
Yeah, I haven't read it, but I understand there's a book out anonymously written by a congressman talking about I've seen it. All they had to get elected, you got to raise $2 or $3 million, which means if you're in a 2-year term, the minute you get elected, you start raising money again. And they are beholden. I mean, it's legalized bribery. But I don't know. There's so many problems with the maps, the way that people are, Congress people are chosen. It's so polar. Even here in Illinois, that fair map amendment, I think that's one of the most important things going on right now. I don't know. I agree with you. The presidency's probably gotten bigger than forefathers would have imagined, and the abuses with the executive orders.
What about locally, if we can, just for a few minutes? I'm seeing my colleagues, I respect my colleagues, but I'm seeing them sort of saying in this Illinois that with this broken state that the Democrats broke over 40 years being run by Boss Madigan, that somehow Bruce Rauner has caved, or Bruce Rauner has not won, or that Madigan won. And I'm trying to think, Right.
Now Madigan didn't win. Madigan for the first time. Listen, this goes back, and we talked about, I think, this last time. This goes back to Republican governors, back to Thompson. Madigan has rolled every one of them.
Right.
Thompson, Edgar, rolled them all. We got the pension deals.
Edgar?
He rolled all of them.
What about Edgar? Is there something that I saw in the Jeff, did you see anything in the Sun-Times maybe, something? What was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, let me finish this point. I know where you're going. But the point is, I think Rauner got pension reform in this bill in exchange for partially funding the Chicago Public Schools, which would have been $750 million. And for the first time, Madigan actually had to come back to the table for the first time in my lifetime. So the people that are suggesting Madigan won are just talking to Steve Brown too much, and they need to really look at what the deal was. And change, as you know, takes some time, and give Rauner credit. I work down there, and all anybody cares about is good policy, and that's, I think, important. But the other point, you're talking about our former governor, Jim Edgar.
GM Edgar, who, by the way, had some really interesting friends. One is the guy that cured me of Republicanism.
Yes.
Big Bill Cellini and his sidekick,
Bob Schlander.
Those guys cured me. And Jim Edgar, his friendship with them, cured me of being a Republican. I'm still a conservative, not a Republican.
Bob Schlander, I don't think there's anybody on the planet other than you that he hates more than me.
He hates your guts, too. Are we going to see him in Cleveland? Yeah, probably. Yeah, hey, Bob.
What did you say? What's he's putting the... you brought 4 years ago. He's putting the Franco Mints on the pillows.
On the pillows. Of the convention on my pillow, sure.
Well, so, but back to Governor Edgar. It's for some reason, I didn't quite understand, and I'll give you the whole story. He consistently was criticizing Bruce Rauner.
Right.
We need a budget. That's the most important thing you do is a budget. Blah, 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 blah. Guy's never had a public sector job lecturing us on budgets. And, well, it turns out he's making money on a budget because he's got a company that loans vendors money. And then they get the VIG, the 9%, which is a lot.
Right.
So when the state's fully funded, Governor Edgar gets fully paid. So,
you know what?
And late fees.
And late fees. Maybe he should have disclosed that when he's out telling everybody that Governor Rauner is a failure and he's not meeting, you know, his obligations as a governor. I mean, to me, that's about as hypocritical as you can get.
It was terrible of what he did. My hat's off to the Sun-Times for breaking that story. And that type of talk where you're ripping on a guy, look, Bruce Rauner, you can say what you want about Bruce Rauner. He's not doing it for money. Jim.
Right.
Right? He's not doing it to make himself look good.
Jim. Or a bigger pension.
Or bigger pension, Jim. Or an airplane. You know what? You should just ask Bruce. Maybe he'll buy you one. Okay? Instead of having to use ours. Remember how he was using our airplanes? All that stuff. And they never disclose what their true agenda is.
Right.
That's insulting to me.
Yeah, that was... about as hypocritical as you can get. And I never understood, even before I knew maybe what the motivation was, no one did that to him. Usually the former presidents, former governors just be quiet and go off into the sunset. And they thought it was very irritating when a guy is really, trying to do the right thing for the state, catching a lot of grief for it. So I hope Governor Edgar just kind of fades into the sunset.
Well, one thing before he does, I hope I can write a column or two about it, because the idea of a loan shark governor, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of I don't want to put words in your guy's mouth, Jeff Carlin, but a guy going out there, it's like a payday loan governor loan shark thing, isn't it, Jeff? I'm keeping Pat safe here.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the concept because it's a good idea to get vendors paid. And I'll disclose, I have clients that are getting paid by that. But the VIG and not disclosing it when I got an interest here.
Right.
That's conflict of interest 101. Maybe we didn't learn that.
Maybe that's why we get along, because you always say stuff like that, where you say, yeah, okay, I'm talking about this, but I have clients who do this.
Yeah, but
you've always done that. Other guys don't do that.
Well.
That's why I don't talk to them.
I'm a hillbilly.
Yes, and me too. Me too. I like to plant my tomatoes with my bare feet.
Yes, sir, and sweep them.
Sweep them too.
Hey, we had a party last week. We had a mechanical bull in the front yard. We had Hillbilly Fest.
You know what?
Invited Jeff out.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Pat.
Pat had his pig roast.
I apologize.
He had a
Trump pinata.
Had a Trump pinata. We blew it up with fireworks.
Nice.
America.
America. And a pig roast and a bull in the front.
The bull was unbelievable. The pig was unbelievable.
Did you roast the pig in the front yard like a Greek would do with the lamb?
We did it in the driveway like a Hillbilly would do.
we drank
beer in the garage like Hank Hill would do.
There you go. There's nothing like drinking beer in the garage by the fence.
Drinking beer with the cooler right there. You just throw the empties in the cooler. It's a great country.
Right?
Amen.
No one's talking about craft beer either. You know, nothing like Miller High Life. champagne.
Yeah, craft beer fills me up.
Doesn't it though? It's too yeasty.
Yeah, and I'm not. I mean, I'm good for the craft beer. I like light beer just so I can drink a bunch of them.
That's why he's trim and slim. So what are we going to do? What's going to happen at the convention? Everybody, all three of us are going to be at the convention, the Republican convention. I'm thinking maybe I picked the wrong one, or my editors picked the wrong one for me to go to.
No, I think that given the Trump and the way he operates, we're going to get flying monkeys. We're going to get midget fights. We're going to get supermodels.
Dwarf throwing.
Everything is not PC. We're going to see. I can't believe there's not going to be supermodels.
There will be.
I'm sure there will be.
But there are always supermodels at the Republican convention.
Yeah, but they won't be as prominent. They won't have keynote speaking roles because nobody else will speak.
His wife is going to talk for sure.
Remember those beauty pageants when that was the question was the one that would make him or break? Jeff Dunham, right. Too young, would make or break him.
I want world peace and the people to live together. You know, right. And she can't even think because she hasn't had water for 6 weeks, right? she's on diuretics, drinking coffee and, you know, going three times a day. But it's another thing with Trump, okay? I got to say, Mrs. Trump, no one's making a deal. I'm going to make a deal. Happily married man that I am. She's gorgeous, okay? I don't know how many wives he's had. 4, 5? How do the evangelicals stay there with that?
You know, and they voted for him in the primary.
Yeah, they did.
The choice is them or or Ted Cruz. So,
I know, but that's what really got me. I think Ted's thing was too much of the angry preacher thing, his style, right?
We used to call him Count Chocula.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
sure.
Who came up with that first, me or Mr. Brady?
We had an argument about that on Michigan Avenue.
We almost fought. We were rolling in the rolling in the mud right next to the
one-legged
panhandler.
I did concede.
Because he's such a baby. He wants to be nice. I think he might have made it up. I don't know.
I'll take partial credit for Madaganistan, though.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh boy.
I said Madiganville. Look up your column.
I do because I remember that great thing where you had like a Jimmy Buffett thing. Right? There was like a Jimmy Buffett fundraiser.
No, we did for his fake opponent. We threw a fundraiser.
That's right.
And it got a lot of press, and I understand the people down there weren't too happy about it.
Oh, my God. We got to have a Mike Madigan Film Fest, too. That thing with Chuck Gowdy, remember?
Yeah.
Where Chuck is trying to chase.
Chase him into the garage, right?
No, he's like Mike's in the car, Madigan's in the car. Shirley's coming out of the car.
Yeah.
Or coming out.
He's in that
car.
Big white Cadillac?
Yeah, yeah, something like that, like an Eldorado Brome or something.
Something
right?
You see down in Boca.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No rest on it. WIND in the radio. He takes off because, you know, he leaves his wife on the parkway. Okay.
That was a good clip.
So we can have, what are we going to do down there?
Well, I'm getting there Sunday. You guys are coming in Sunday.
Yeah,
we're going to make the rounds. And I think being on the floor, you know, will be interesting. So we'll have to get down there.
I think the future of the Republican Party is going to be, it's already been made. It's already been declared. What the new Republican Party is going to be about, I think it was what this is going to be in part, right? No?
I believe so. I believe we're at a crisis. I mean, this could, if you look at the polling right now, this could go very badly and could reshape the map for us. I mean, Arizona's in play. They were in North Carolina yesterday, the president, the first lady. They were going to do that in Wisconsin. They went to North Carolina. That's how bad it is for us. And
so
he hasn't raised any
money. Why are the polls showing he's moving up again? Like he's within 4 or 5 points.
Well, he's
right
always
now,
been
without
within
spending money.
4 or 5. But the national polls don't matter. There's only about 12 states that are relevant.
And isn't he competitive in the battleground?
No, Ohio, he's close, but the rest of them. There was one out 5 days ago that has him down 6 to 11. And the state that, you know, they're counting on, a key state is Colorado. And the RNC, the Republican National Committee, has a ton of money into Colorado. But there was a revolt in Colorado for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that's not been reported is they're having problems getting his delegates to show up because delegates don't realize, and I did this with McCain twice, you have to pay. It's not, people would call, where's my voucher? I'm like, voucher's in your back pocket because we're not paying. And it's not cheap, as you know.
No.
Well, wait and see. I was trying to get that effort to maybe get the rules changed. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but we'll see. But
you want the rules changed so that you can have an open convention and nominate others, correct?
Yes, and the reason I feel that way is just he's been such a disaster since he's won the nomination. Polling, and you can't win a race with $1.3 million in the bank, which is what he had in May.
Well, let's put it this way. There are those of you Republicans like you who firmly believe, out of principle's sake, that he shouldn't be president.
Well, there are principle others, and policy. He's not, there, he's not a policy. Republican.
There are others who think in terms of their own self-interest, Republicans and Democrats. That's why they're met. That's why there are Democrats, too, for their self-interest, just like some Republicans. And I think it's clear that the establishment does not would rather have Hillary, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, he's only, from the articles I've read, he's only picked up 1% of Romney's donors. And I assume that they're going to be going to Hillary, particularly the national security people. I mean, you saw a lot of those people. Yeah, I think a lot of them are going to Hillary. Hillary's pliable.
She's got the she's the weirdest thing with her, guys. She's got the neocons now. Al Kagan and those guys are going to be all running to her. The guys who started the war, all the wars.
The war that she voted for.
The wars that she voted for. The Wall Street crowd is with her. Main Street is with still with the
Wall
Republican
Street did
Party.
Pretty well under President Bill.
And then she also has the Black Lives Matter, right? This is the Democratic coalition. Neocons, Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, LGBT, and the Muslims. How does that work?
I
mean, what kind of coalition is that? How does that coalition hold together?
You know, and I see the big crowd down there last week, and I get the historical allegiance to the Democrats, but I hope someday the leadership in the African-American community asks just what exactly have Democrats
done
for
us.
I don't see it, and that's other really groups I feel the same way about, but what, you know, I'm not sure what they've done for them.
Look around Chicago and see what's happened to this city. See what black people suffer with in terms of murder, homicide, gangs, and crappy schools. Don't blame it on the Republicans. They're not the ones who did it.
Crappy schools, too. Crappy schools.
Crappy schools. That's why the suburbs are there.
I know.
John Cass, Jeff Carlin, Pat Brady, the Three Amigos will be in Cleveland coming up soon. And thanks also to Tom Serafin. We've had some pretty sharp people on today, but none of them know how to make a pie except Jeff Carlin. See ya.